Pray with us. Father, we thank you that you desire to touch us and change us. And Father, I thank you for Diane and her life and the story she has to tell of how you've changed her. I pray you give her peace. I pray that the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear, that we may be drawn closer to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You picked that song out.
Yes.
Why'd you pick that out?
Because it touches my heart. He touched my heart.
Yeah.
He's turned my life around to be a vessel for him. And I just want to be that for the rest of my life. And this is awful loud.
No, you're okay. You might want to turn the monitors off. Turn the volume down in them so you can turn her up. She's gonna speak a little louder when she gets over her nerves, and she's gonna do that. So let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Did you grow up in Midlothian?
No, I grew up in Dallas, Irving. I moved around. We moved around quite a
right.
bit. And
tell me about your parents.
My parents were good. They were young whenever they got married.
Right.
My mom was only 14, and she had 5 kids by the time she was 21.
Wow.
So we didn't have a lot of direction.
Just don't let it bother you. He'll get it and fix
in
just
a
second. No, it's okay. It's
okay.
Picking up through the... He's got it turned so loud, it's okay. Picking up through the... They're going to help him, so...
Okay, yeah. But anyway, they were just good. We just lived everyday lives. We were... Now we're gone. We went to church off and on. My dad worked a lot, sometimes on the weekends, and we didn't get to go
all
the time.
Do me a favor, put this on this side. There you go. There. Okay, let's try that.
Okay. And we would go to church. I know my mom would take us to church all the time. Whenever we were in Irving.
Right.
When I was younger, we went to church in Irving, and then we moved to Dallas, and then we started going over to Polk Street Baptist Church. And my grandmother would take me a lot, and I was saved at Polk Street Baptist Church.
So tell me about that. How old were you?
I was 8 years old.
Okay.
And
are you like me? I got saved at 8 years old, and I know I got saved. But I cannot tell you what day it was. I can't tell you. I know I prayed and accepted Christ, but details I don't remember.
Well, I remember I was in Sunday school, and I
you're
stayed
smarter
after
than
Sunday
I am.
School. And I got down on my knees and asked God to come into my heart and to save me. And we went, and then I was baptized after that. But I couldn't tell you the day. I couldn't
right.
tell you anything else that I remember.
Which
that
is
time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people think you need to know the precise moment. It's not about the moment. It's about what happens after the moment. So
I didn't really remember that much detail until I started really thinking about my life when I started
right.
to do this. So I've thought about
so
that.
Through your teenage years, what was that like?
Well, I lost my brother when I was 16.
Okay.
And that opened my eyes to God even more than what it was.
In a good way?
In a good way, yes. Because I remember thinking, you know, he was saved when he was 18 when he was killed and that when he was 18, even an explosion at work. But he had was saved a couple of months earlier because he was having a son and he wanted to be the best father ever.
Oh my
so,
gosh.
So, and then he was, I was at school one day and they called and said that he was in an explosion. He was killed. And anyway, he lived 10 days.
Wow.
So, but, and God brought me closer and closer to him because I knew that he was with him.
Right.
And I knew that I wanted to be there and I wanted to be with him. I wanted
That's
to be
amazing,
with God.
Because tragedy generally drives you in one of two directions. It drives you to God or away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome that he used that to bring you to him.
Yeah. And I was always looking for happiness. Anyway, I got married at 19.
Okay.
And I had Angela. I got pregnant with Angela when I was...
Is that happiness?
That's happiness. The best thing that's come out of my life, really, except for God. But when I got pregnant with her, my husband decided he didn't want the responsibility. So I divorced at 21.
Wow.
And I went through a little depression, but then God told me all the problems was, he was giving me a lot of fits, and I've all the problems was his problems, not mine. God had me, and I was going to be okay.
That's a lot of wisdom for a 21-year-old. Some people who are three or four times that age don't get that wisdom mm-hmm. of, our problems are not our problems.
That's right. They're other people's.
They're God's problems. They're
but
so you're a single mom. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't even put this in my testimony because it was so short. But my mom, I was the first, out of all her children, I was the first one that had a child that didn't have another, that didn't have anybody take care of me.
Right.
So my mom actually talked me into going out with somebody. And I ended up marrying this one after I got my divorce.
Right.
And it lasted 2 months. I said, this is not God's, this is not of God. So I divorced him.
Okay.
My life is not pretty, but
in God
the end
is.
In the end, God made it.
Yeah.
Turned bad into good. So
what does that feel like now?
Well, I was still looking for happiness.
Yeah.
It feels like now I feel like I'm in God. I mean, God's in me, and yeah. that's all I want to be.
But it wasn't easy back then.
No. Mm-mm.
How
back
did
then
you
it was tough.
Make it through?
The second divorce.
Two divorces. And a single mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did okay. I put it in God's hands.
Right.
And then I went to work when Angela was 2 months old. And I was there for 49 years, which is a job that works a lot of weekends.
Right.
And I didn't get to go to church a lot, but we did go. And when Angela was 8 years old, I remarried.
Okay. Was this better than the...
It was better. It lasted a while. And then when Angela was 10, I had a son. I got pregnant, and I had a son. And he was 2 days old, and he passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I had just lost my mom. He passed away in October of 86. I lost my mom in September of 86.
That's enough heartache mm-hmm. for more than most people can handle.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I put that in God's hands. God told me the loss of my son was tough. God had me. God told me that Kevin was so special that he got to come straight to him, that he didn't have to live this turmoil of life.
Yeah.
So I got through it. It was tough. I still felt the void.
It still hurts today.
Yes, it does.
We can see that.
But God's got it, and he's with God, and he's with my mom. My mom's there. Told me that he took my mom so my mom could take care of Kevin.
Yeah.
So I got through all that. God's just been in my life so much that I didn't even realize until I started going through all of this.
Yeah.
Because I kind of block out things that are tough.
That we all do, from a sense of It's a coping mechanism generally to deal with life, that you block out things that especially when you can't get the answers to them. There's a lot of things that go on in this life. This side of heaven, we will not have the answer to. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But God, what it serves for us to do is to trust God more. Mm-hmm. And even in the midst of heartache, you just keep trusting Him.
Yes. Yes. The only thing that gets us through. The only thing we can... We're here for Him. And we've got to focus on Him. And as long as I focus on Him, I can get through anything. He's in my life, taking care of me.
Y'all hear that? Because that's important. Whatever it is, ever how hard it is, God's enough, right?
God's sufficient for me.
Because you've had a lot. But you just keep...
Mm-hmm.
Why do you serve Him?
Because I love Him. Because He loved me first.
How do you get to... What do you say to somebody? Because you have... You have a wealth of knowledge in dealing with tragedy, whether you want to or not. What would you say to somebody?
Just rely on Him. He's there for you. You can't get through life without Him. He's what we're here for.
I know you share this sentiment, but I honestly don't understand how people get through life without God.
Yes.
And I say a lot, you know, when we become Christians, we want so much to have this fairy tale, happily ever after life, once we accept Christ. And Scripture promises us anything but that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Satan
the complete...
Satan tries to take over.
Say that again?
Satan tries to take over your life.
On a daily basis,
daily.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And take over... From the standpoint of putting the what ifs in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
What if this had been that way? Or what if God had done that? What if God had stepped in here and made this different? You ever ask that?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Because I don't question God. I can't question God.
Which is an amazing sentiment. And I wanted y'all to hear that because she really means that,
mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not to that point spiritually, okay? She's way down the road from me, and it's the things that have gone on in her life that have gotten her to that point. You accept it as God knows what He's doing.
God knows what He's doing, and things that happen to me are from my sin, and I have to learn from that.
Which is an amazing thought. There's a consequences to our actions.
Yes.
And
I've had a lot of consequences. But.
But God's still good,
God's
right?
God's still good.
For those of us who do question God, first of all, know that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
What He loves is our mindset, when you can get to this point of going, God's got it under control, and there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lifetime for some of us to get to the place where we can trust that God has a plan for our life.
Mm-hmm.
And even in our wrong decisions, He'll use them.
Which I made a lot. Yeah.
You made your share.
I made...
But what? God always...
He always prevails. He always takes over. I mean, He always turns everything bad into good. Into a blessing.
Into a blessing. Did you hear that? Into a blessing. God is an amazing from the standpoint that He loves His children. No matter how wrong your decisions are, He still loves you. And the moment where we turn to Him even in a wrong decision, He'll use it. So, now what?
After I had my son and lost my son, I was married for a total of 13 years. And when Angela was 19, my husband couldn't deal with the loss of our son, still couldn't get over that, so we divorced again. And at that time, still, I didn't realize, I hadn't the concept that all I need, I was always looking for happiness.
Right.
And at that time, I didn't realize that all I needed was God's love. I don't need anything, anybody else, but God's love.
When you get to that point, you realize that God's love is happiness.
God's love is happiness.
And so you find yourself single again.
Single again. And then I met someone else that had the same hurts as I had, had the same hard life as I had. And we got married for the fourth time and the final time. But our life, I married Charles Lindop. A lot of people know Charles Lindop, and he was a good man, and he loved the Lord. He had gone to school earlier in life to be a seminary to be a minister, and his life, his family didn't support him. And so he had a lot of problems and ended up kind of dropping out. He just had a hard life in marriage too. But anyway, we remarried. We got married, and when Angela was 19 and then she was 20, which had never happened in our life, he wanted to adopt Angela. So he adopted her, and he was her father. She had finally had a father at 20 years old.
Wow.
Her biological father disowned her. So she had a father. And so when we got married, and we moved into the house over on 14th Street, and we started coming here. First off, when we came to Middle Lothian, we moved to Middle Lothian. Our pastor, when I was going to the other church, the church had split, and then he came to First Baptist Middle Lothian, and a lot of our friends moved here. So that's why we came to Middle Lothian. And that's when I met him. And we started coming to Calvary Baptist Church in 2001 when it was over on the old church. And Charlie got back and real close to the Lord. And he decided he wanted to, they were doing boxes for the Thanksgiving and Christmas but they had sold the church that. And so they didn't have room, so they were going to cancel that for that year. And Charlie told them, no, that we would do it at our house. So we started doing the food, doing the boxes at our house. And then God told him that he should keep feeding everybody because they had to eat all through the year, not just at Christmas and Thanksgiving. Right. So we started that at our house, and it grew so much that the church, they moved over here. And they built this building back here for the food pantry.
Right.
And so we served there for 9 years. And then Charlie got cancer and lymphoma. And after the 9 years, then I had to take care of him after that.
Yeah.
And he passed away in 2019. And we were married for 24 years. So, and God was in our life the whole time.
Yeah.
So
was that happiness?
That was happiness. That was happiness.
Yeah. And so here you are. Now what?
Y'all come to this church. You came to this church, and Misty and Peggy and Roger. Brian and Julie. And this church has grown so much. And just your teaching, Peggy's teaching, has really brought me closer to the Lord. And I see the grandkids and the youth, and it's just, it's awesome.
Y'all don't know, on Wednesday night, we have prayer time at 6, and then we start Bible study at 6:30. And we don't start till Diane gets here. And here's the reason, okay? Her car is packed full of kids that she wants to make sure gets to Bible study. That's her heart. We could learn a lot from her, because through everything that you've been through, good, bad, ugly, you just love Jesus.
Yes.
And in life, what Satan will love for you to do is to live your life looking in the rearview mirror at your mistakes.
Yes.
He will remind you often of your mistakes. God has no rearview mirror. Do y'all realize that?
Mm-hmm.
The moment that you accept Christ, He forgives you of your sins. And so when you try to talk to Him about some mistake you made 30 years ago, He has literally no idea of what you're talking about, because it's been washed by the blood of Christ and it doesn't exist. And so Christ wants us to live our life looking out the windshield and following Him. And He makes something beautiful out of
yes,
our lives.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does.
You're sweet for sharing.
Oh, thank you.
We love you more because of who you are and your willingness to tell us what God's done in your life. We learn from each other, and you bless my heart.
Thank you.
And I know you bless theirs. Let's pray. And the men are going to come forward for our offering. Father, we thank you for Diane. We thank you for her life. We thank you for what you've done in her life. I pray your blessings over her, and I pray that, Father, we learn from her of how you can work in our lives. We ask you to bless this time. Use it to your glory. And as we worship you now with our offerings, Lord, let us be reminded that everything that we have is yours.
Yes.
And we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.